And today we're going to talk about remodeling our finances. It's from one verse, Matthew 6:24. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. He will love one and hate the other, or he will hate the one and love the other." The actual Greek word that is used there is that he will highly esteem one and disesteem the other, or he will disesteem the first one and highly esteem the other. So God will either be first or he'll be last. But he cannot be in the middle. There's got to be somewhere. Now, I got to come clean with you guys. There, one more story from Oklahoma from 2 weeks ago that I didn't even tell my wife, but it was a little arrest. It was really not a big deal. Let me start at the beginning. I have this thing with my children where I show them. I say, you know, we're sitting down. We have a lobster, for instance, and I'll say, you know, there's only one thing better than a lobster. Does anybody know the answer to that? Two lobsters. There's only one thing better than a steak. Two steaks. You're catching on. Okay? So the week I had to go to Oklahoma, I said to myself, what would be better than Joe? Two Joes. So I had myself cloned. It was my wife's worst nightmare. But the problem I had, the clone Joe wasn't so nice. In fact, he was out cursing people out and just foul mouth everywhere he went. And I started chasing him, and I finally caught up with him out there in Oklahoma. And I got him up in the mountains, and I pushed him off the mountain. You know what I got arrested for? For making an obscene clone fall. I should get applause just for having the courage to stand up here and say that. All right. Here's what I know what the Bible says about money. I prayed last night. The prayer team got with me and they said, "Joe, what do we pray tonight?" They always ask me what I want to pray about. I said, "Pray that I don't say what Joe wants to say, and pray that I don't say what the people want to hear. Please pray that I'll say what God wants to say." So that's what I'm going to do my best to give you today. Here's what the Bible says about money. Money will either turn into a gift that you learn to use for God's glory, or it will destroy you. And you don't have to go very far in our culture watching the news stories about people who are dying because of drugs and alcohol and excessive lifestyles, usually due to money. Now, Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money was evil. Money is a benign object. But the love of it, when money becomes essentially your God, it is a destructive thing. And Perry Noble said, there's only three things that will truly separate you from God. He said, it's unforgiveness, sexual sin, and money. And in the church, a lot of times that third one is the toughest one to talk about. Well, we're going to talk about it today. You know, Jesus talked about money more than any other topic. He talked about money more than he talked about prayer, salvation, family, and marriage combined. Why? Because Jesus knew that money would be a stumbling block that would destroy people and their commitment to God. Now, listen. The principles we're going to lay out today are very simple in the Bible, but you need to pay attention to it. We admitted we believe the Bible is the Word of God, right? So that means not just the parts I like, but the whole book, right? There are parts that I don't even understand, but I still believe it. There's parts that are very hard for me to live, but I still believe it, and I'm doing my best to shape my life toward that. And the first thing he talks about in remodeling our finances, if I can only have one master, then God has to be first. Now, when I wrote this, I wanted to write it in reverse order. Here's what we're talking about. Three things. Tithing, which is giving 10% of your money to the Lord. Offerings and living. Now, Darren's already talked about the investment. He talked about that in the beginning, the retirement end of that. So those are the three things. And I wanted to start with the fun part. I wanted to talk about, you know what, God has blessed us with resources so we can live and enjoy life. And He has. But that's the mistake we've made in the church. Because Jesus comes first. We say, well, after I do this and I do that and I take my trip and I go and do this, I don't have 10% left to give to God. That's because God's 10% is supposed to be first. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, check it out. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that you might be blessed. He says, test me on this and see if I won't pour out a blessing on you beyond what you can imagine. Now, that is not a promise of a Ferrari. It is a promise that God will provide for you, that God will take care of you, that you will actually see the hand of God because you have made Him Lord in your life. Now listen, God's not a socialist. God does not have a 70% margin and a 3% margin. It doesn't matter whether you make $100 or $50 million. If everybody gave 10% the way God prescribes, can you imagine how much money the Church of Jesus Christ would have? There would be no needs in the body of Christ. Every orphan would be taken care of. Every church would be planted. Because when you give, we're able to plant churches like Salty, like the one we're working with right now in Palm Bay, like the land that we're talking about for early next year. It allows us to run a food pantry where 500 people a month get food to feed their family. It's where we get to run our medical clinic. It's how we run our pro-life clinics to take care of babies. All of this comes out of your generosity. It's how we get a children's department, a teen department. It's how you're sitting in this building. It's because people before you have been faithful in giving that 10%. But do you know this is the only place where God says, test me? There are other places God said, if you test me, I'll kill you. He's pretty honest. But in this one, God says, put me to the test. Check me out. Try me on this. Now listen, let me tell you my story. All right? I'll just tell you how God's worked in my life. 14 years old, I accepted Jesus. I was the biggest screw up you can imagine from 14 to, well, 53. But it was really... it was really bad from 14 to about 22. But the one thing I got right was tithing. I even went back. I said, well, you know what? If I owe God a tithe, I went back and figured out what I'd made from the time I was born. And I tithed. Now, I don't think that was necessary, but it was something I wanted to do. I was not going to be guilty of robbing God. And you need to read Malachi, the whole book. It's four chapters. It'll take you 5 minutes. Four little chapters. But it's the last book in the Old Testament. It will change your life if you'll read it. Just four little chapters. All right? So I learned to tithe. And I've watched God provide for my family in ways that I cannot fathom. You know what? Now listen, I had no money when I started and I have no money now. But God has provided every step of the way. You want to know why this church is blessed? Let me explain it to you. This church tithes. You give $100 to this church, the first $10 of that $100 goes right to our missions fund. And as a result of that, we're able to help missionaries, we're able to plant churches, we're able to do other things off budget because we're tithing ourselves. And you know what? Every church I know is having financial trouble except us. And you know why we don't have financial trouble? Because we tithe. We put God's heart for, listen, it works in every area. We have mission trip teams that are struggling for money and they tithe off what they have to another team. And God provides for their team. See, the principle will work anywhere. One more principle I'll show you. All right. I decided to try it one day with my wallet. Guys, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that does this. But I have money that my wife doesn't know about. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? Randy, what are you looking at me for? We all got a little money here, but I decided a few years ago I wanted to see if God would even work in my wallet. So when I have some Joe money, I tithe. I take a mission or I take something special that's on my heart, and I give 10% of whatever's laying in my wallet. And you know what? There's always money in my wallet. Not much. But there's always money that I need for whatever it is I think I need. The principle works across the board. Now, here's what's crazy. I'll say to people, well, listen, here's the deal. Why don't you just try it? God says, trust me, test me, challenge me on this. And I'll say to people, okay, why don't you try this? You tithe for 3 months. Give God the first 10%. If God doesn't provide for you, if God doesn't take care of you, I'll give you your money back. And people are like, okay. Now, here's the crazy thing. I've got nothing. And you're trusting me to give you your money back. But God said, test me and see if I won't take care of you. That's the biblical picture. You put God first. He said, you take care of me in my heart, and I'll take care of you. The second part is the offerings. Right? This is how we run the orphanages that we run and some of the other outreaches we run. And this is where we say, you know what? I just want to be a blessing. I'm going to feed some people today. I'm going to help my neighbor. Whatever projects that, you know, we've got going on. We've got churches planted all over the world. It's all a result of the offerings that you give. You have 175 churches in Egypt. Did you know that? That's something to feel pretty good about. You've got about 150 churches in India. You've got churches all over Africa. You've got churches in South America, all because of your generosity. We ran into a new group. Let me just set up the story. About a year ago, this story started. There was a story about a lion named Cecil that was shot in Zimbabwe by a dentist in Minnesota. Does anybody remember that story? Well, I told that story from the pulpit. I probably had the paper with me then too. I told that story and I told you, I said, everybody's worried about this dang lion. And I love lions. Don't get me wrong. I do love lions. But I said, wonder what's anybody doing about the children in Zimbabwe? Did you know Zimbabwe is one of the poorest nations in the world? They're the only country that has no economy. They don't have a bad economy. They have no economy. They have no money. There is no financial system. It's craziness, okay? Anyway, through this process, we got online. We found this incredible mission called the Hippo Valley Christian Mission. They've got churches all over Zimbabwe, orphanages. They have a school system. Listen to this. They have a school system that has 18,000 children. So we decided to support them. Would you welcome to the stage Al and Patty Serhold, who are the executive directors of Hippo Valley Christian Mission.
Good morning.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you all so much. It is an honor for me to be here this morning at truly one of the greatest mission churches in the world, and I mean that. And to be able to tell you about one of the greatest missions in the history of the independent Christian churches, Hippo Valley Christian Mission. Hippo Valley Christian Mission was founded in 1956 by John and Marge Pemberton. John Pemberton was a prisoner of war in World War II. And in that prison camp, he makes a promise to God. He says, God, if you get me home, I will serve you the rest of my life. And the Lord brought him home. And he took his wife and his young family. He had three small children at the time. They lived in Gary, Indiana, and they moved to Grayson, Kentucky, where he enrolled at Kentucky Christian College to train for the ministry, whatever God would lead him to do. While he was there, he met another World War II veteran, Dr. Dennis Pruitt, who had made a similar promise to God. And these two men became the best of friends. And they prayed together and they asked God, where would you have us go? What would you have us do? And the Lord opened doors for them to go to what was then Southern Rhodesia and do mission work. So in 1956, the Pembertons and the Pruitts moved with their young families to Southern Rhodesia to a rural area called Mashoko. And they established this great mission with the simple philosophy of reaching the body, the mind, and the soul. So they set up a health clinic to help with people's physical needs. They built a school to teach the children to read and write. And out of that school, they established a church to reach the eternal soul. Today, Hippo Valley Christian Mission has 27 mission schools with more than 18,000 children attending these mission schools. 18,000 children who are not only learning to read and write, but they're learning about Jesus. Every year we baptize hundreds of children through our mission school ministry. And we've established dozens and dozens of churches. We have an orphan ministry. It is truly one of the great mom and pop missions in the history of the independent Christian church. Well, what we are doing, my wife Patty and I, we have a display out here, and we have these brochures, and it's an opportunity for you to partner with us as we partner with God to invest in the life of one of these school children. We have asked the headmasters in our schools, and they're all members of our churches, and we've asked them to identify children in these mission schools who are bright kids with a great attitude, but given their financial situation, the likelihood of them going even to high school, let alone beyond that, is just about zero. And we're calling these kids Living Proof Kids, and we're pairing them up with a U.S. sponsor for $20 a month. All right, that's $20 a month, folks. And you can sponsor one of these children, one of these children who have the hope of almost zero future. You can sponsor one of them. You can write us a check every month. We have a place you can fill out this form and it can come out of your credit card, $20 a month. You can sponsor two children. You can sponsor however many as you want. But if you become a Living Proof sponsor today, and only today, you're going to get one of these T-shirts. Now, unfortunately, we brought a whole suitcase full of them, but we gave them all out last night. But we'll mail you one of these. We'll get it in the mail right away. And we'd love for you to wear these around town, and people will say what's that's all about, and you can tell them about this great mission. But of the $20 that you give every month, five of that $20 goes into the Living Proof Scholarship Fund. And your child, when they reach the age of high school, will have money so that they can go to high school. And 15 of that $20 goes directly into the Living Proof Clubs, where the kids, they receive a Bible, they receive a T-shirt just like this, they receive school uniforms, socks and shoes. Joe, some of these kids, when we gave them their shoes last year and their uniforms, they'd never worn shoes before. We have pictures of preachers on their knees teaching these kids how to tie shoes because they never had shoes before. These are poor kids, the poorest of one of the poorest countries in the world. And we're giving them hope. We are raising up an army of future leaders through these mission schools. And we're asking you to partner with us as we partner with God to raise up an army of Living Proof Kids. We'd love for you to sign up. We've got our table out there, and we'll be waiting for you. Thank you very much.
You know, it's really an incredible story. And since Al has asked permission to quote me in his brochure, I have to say this. But every first world Christian ought to be sponsoring a third world child. And I firmly believe that. So I'd like to give you a gift. I have, from the bank, I have 10 brand new $10 bills. All right, freshly printed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good morning,
yeah, I just made them this morning. I want to give you these 10 $100 bills.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Appreciate that so much.
I forgot. I'm supposed to take my kids out to lunch. Can I have one of those tens back?
No, I'm keeping them all.
Did anybody learn a principle from what just happened? 10%. Let's move on to the last one. God gives us the money. It's His. He allows us to use it. But this is the good part, okay? We get to live. God wants you to live large, all right? I don't know if anybody told you. I'm not talking about driving a Rolls Royce, but it was Jesus who said, Go, man. Go enjoy the world. Why did he create all this stuff? Why did he make all the incredible places? Listen, he could have made everything black and white. We'd have never known the difference. He created waterfalls and mountains and oceans. He said, go and enjoy what I've given you. Put me first. But listen, I don't get it. I do not get how Christians go around with these sour looks on their faces. Who should be having a good time? My friends that don't know Jesus, they're out partying and laughing. And I'm thinking, dude, you're going to hell. My eternity is sealed because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we walk around like we're at a funeral all the time. Who ought to be enjoying life if not us? And God said, listen, the rest of that money is a gift from me. You're like, I got to give 10%. No, you get to keep 90. You get to keep 90 and you get to enjoy everything that God has given you. You get to enjoy the magnificent story that you know about Jesus. You get to share that story with other people and you get to go out and change your world. What an incredible opportunity we've been given. The last story I want to tell you, this is Rinaldo Belletti. Italian guy. Anybody, any Italians in the room? I realize you'll have to kill me later, but anyway. This guy is known as the Espresso King of Italy. Recently died at 93. And so when he died, he had himself cremated. And at his funeral, he had himself put in an espresso pot. Life doesn't get much better than this. Now, let me explain this to you. At some point in your life, we go from living to that espresso pot. The question is, what will I do in between? What will I do with what God has given me? Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. I'm done. I'll be behind that wall, a room called The Link. If you want to talk about your relationship with Jesus, accepting Jesus, you want to talk about what we talked about today, you got questions, you think I've lost my mind, come see me. I probably have, but come see me. We'll be happy to talk about that, answer any questions. We're not done. We've got an excellent video and a song. We'll be taking up the offering during the video. Just, you know, that's getting ready to happen. And you give as God has proportioned you. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the blessings you've given us. I do know that half of the people on this planet, almost 4 billion people, live on less than $2 a day. But those aren't the people we see on TV, and those aren't the people we see in the news, and those aren't the ball players, and those aren't the movie stars. But the truth is, half the world lives on $2 a day, and we have been greatly blessed. And I pray that in our moments of pride, anxiety, that we would think about a 10-year-old kid that's never had a pair of shoes or a new shirt, rather than thinking about the billions of dollars that other people have and are wasting. So, Father, help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.